About a week and a half ago, I went to Tom McCaughan's house. He told me the following story and didn't understand why it was true. But my head started thinking about it. I'd like to suggest the explanation. The story is the Brisker of one Shabbos afternoon was walking into Mincha. He was running a few minutes late. I don't know why. He missed Ashrei, he missed the Vold Seal, they took out the Torah. And he missed the Kohen's Bracha Rishona on the Kriyas HaTorah. The Kohen had made the Bracha Rishona on the Kriyas HaTorah. And the Kohen, I guess they were already laning, or he walked in through halfway through the Bracha. The Brisker Rav said, forget it, I'm too late, I missed Kriyas HaTorah. Doesn't pay to stick around, I may as well leave. The question is, why would the Brisker Rav do that? Many of us, okay, we walk in a few minutes late, Kriyas HaTorah at the end of the world. Where does it come from? So I thought, at the time I thought this, but it was a big time to really explain, so I figured I'd just sit there quietly and try my best to talk it out afterwards. I'd like to suggest that Brisker Rav was basing his decision on two independent halachic positions. Number one, that Kriyas HaTorah is a chovas hayachid. It's not a chovas hatzibur. That there's a chiyuv on every individual. From the tzibur, so he was makayim it. That could have made sense. Rather, it was on the yachid, number one. And number two is that the birkas haTorah are part of the Kriyas HaTorah. They're an intrinsic, inherent part of the mitzvah. And if A, there's a chiyuv on the yachid, and B, the bracha of birkas haTorah that you make on the Kriyas HaTorah b'tzibur, if that is, in fact, part of the Kriyas HaTorah, well, once he missed that, game over, he missed the whole chiyuv on the yachid of Kriyas HaTorah, and therefore he went to a different minyan. Those are the two assumptions I think the Brisker Rav had in mind. Again, number one, that Kriyas HaTorah is the chovas hayachid, and number two is that the birkas haTorah is the chelek of the kriya, maybe even to the point where it's ma'akid. And if I can prove those two nekudos, either to be true or at least reasons to be machmer for, that would explain what the Brisker Rav had in mind. So far so good? Let's do it in one at a time. For starters, let's talk about a birkas hamitzvah in general. There's a fascinating machlokas, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Brachos, that if a person, remember a few times, Hilchos Brachos, I think it's Aleph Vav, the Rambam has a sheet to that, if you don't make the bracha beforehand, game over, don't make the bracha afterwards. That a birkas hamitzvah can only be made before the mitzvah. It's well known that the Ur Zaruah, quoted by the Hagos HaShri in Maseches Chulin, disagrees, and that's a famous machlokas. Can you make a birkas hamitzvah after the mitzvah? For example, if let's say a person is about to shecht an animal, and there's a good reason to believe the shechit is not going to come out properly, so some poskim, machlokas the Ramah, the shach, it boils down to the Ramah, and the Ur Zaruah says, the Ramah, make the bracha beforehand. According to the Ur Zaruah, you can make it afterwards if the shechita worked out well, but if not, because maybe it was possible, maybe there's bad shechita, maybe there'd be a problem with it, better not to make the bracha before, and since you can make it afterwards, you're okay. It manifests itself in a similar situation with machlokas the Rambam versus many other Rishonim, but particularly the Raivim, as to whether a person should make the bracha on Kiddushin before or after he does the actual Kiddushin, before or after he's Mekadosh the Isha. The Rambam writes, it is in Hilchos Isha's Paragimel, Halacha, Chaf Gimel or so. The Rambam writes, it is a mitzvah of Kiddushin, and therefore you should make the bracha beforehand. You call HaBrachos, you always make a bracha beforehand, you always make the bracha over Lasiasa. There, many Rishonim disagree. Some Rishonim disagree because fundamentally they don't think Kiddushin is a mitzvah. For example, the Rush. The Rush thinks Kiddushin is not a mitzvah, not even a Heksher mitzvah. Others think it's a Heksher mitzvah. However, if you look at the Raivid right there, the Raivid seems to indicate that Kiddushin is in fact a mitzvah, yet nonetheless you make the bracha afterwards because maybe she's not going to be interested. You offer me a Kaddish, she'll say thanks, but no thanks. I'd rather marry somebody else. I'm not interested in marrying you. She's a little shy or disinterested or whatever the case is. She doesn't want to marry you because maybe she won't. Maybe you won't fulfill the mitzvah. Therefore, better not to make the bracha at all beforehand. Rather, you should make it afterwards. And that's the sheet of the writing. L'char, this machlokas boils down to our shaila as well. Can you make a birkas hamitzvah after the ma'isa mitzvah? According to the Rambam, no, it has to be done beforehand. According to the Ur Zaruah, according to the Raivid, l'char, you can even make a bracha afterwards. The shaila boils down to it. When the Gemara says one should make a bracha over la'asiyasa, the Gemara Megillah, I think that's Daf Chaf for herself, the Gemara there writes you should make a bracha over la'asiyasa, and before you do the mitzvah, Is that the ideal way or the only way? Is that lechadchila, you should make it beforehand, but b'diyem, you can make it afterwards. That'd be the shita of the Rezarua, the shita of the Ravid. However, according to the Rambam, it's so important to make a bracha over le'asiyasan, it's ma'akev, game over, end of story. That is the first machlokas for Shem. I'm going to be masber a little further, but that's well-known machlokas. Can the bracha on a mitzvah, because a mitzvah, must it be over le'asiyasan, or is it only lechadchila for it to be over le'asiyasan? Worst comes to worst, it'll be afterwards. Machlokas for Shem. What's behind this machlokas? So for starters, many suggest, according to the Rambam, well, there are two different svaras suggested for the Rambam. The first svar for the Rambam is what the Me'iri writes in Maseches Megillah. The Me'iri has a lashon as follows. When it comes to bebirkas ha-mitzvah, pashat yoter bishalafaneha, of course, the bracha should go beforehand. Why? Kidei shiyeh nikar shekavanaso lemitzvah. What's the reason why we make a birkas a mitzvah according to this Me'iri? It should be nikar for the mitzvah. It should focus your kavana for the mitzvah. It's a preparation for the mitzvah. It puts the mitzvah in context. And therefore, if it's a hachana, so to speak, for the mitzvah, if it prepares you, it should be nikar. It should be your kavana. It should be for the mitzvah. If that's correct, when should the bracha be made? Beforehand. That's one explanation for the Rambam. There's a second explanation for the Rambam, which is what Rabbi Soloveitchik suggested. The Rambam has a lashon in Hilchos Brachos Parak Aleph Halacha Gimel. K'shem Hashem mevarchem al birchas hanen, and kach mevarchem al birchas hamitzvah. That just like you make a bracha al birchas hanen, so too make a bracha al birchas hamitzvah. Soloveitchik has a whole arichas where he tries to prove that the Rambam holds that a birchas hanen is a matir, which means it enables you to do the mitzvah, it allows you to do it. Based on the Gemara Bracha said, Kol Hanenim and Olmazeb Lo Bracha Kilu Mazal Gazal Me'akadosh Baruch Hu. Anyone who eats before making the bracha, it's as if they stole. The bracha removes the gezeila, it removes the theft, it matures it to you, it makes it permissible to eat. Right? The Gemara has another stira right there. Everything belongs to God, but on the other hand, everything belongs to us. We quote two different psukim. One is Hashem Haritzim Loa, and one is Hashemayim Hashemayim Hashem Haritzim Sam Lefnei Adam, something like that. So the Gemara responds, Kan Lefnei Bracha, Kan Lacha Bracha, that after we've given a bracha, now it's ours, the bracha seems to matcher the food. If that's correct, the Rambam accepts that it's true by Birkas Hanenin, that Birkas Hanenin is a matcher, which is subject to debate. And the Rambam parallels Birkas Hanenin to Birkas HaMitzvah, which is subject to debate. If you make both of those assumptions, as Rabbi Soloveitchik does, you can draw this conclusion that the Rambam believes that Birkas HaMitzvah is a matir. And if it's a matir, it must be made, in fact, before the mitzvah is done. And that's Rabbi Soloveitchik explains this Rambam. Why must, says the Rav, Soloveitchik explains, just like the Kishem, the parallel, Kishem Shep Mivrachim Benen beforehand, so to the Birkas HaMitzvah, says that's the Rambam Lashitasa, the Rambam mandates the Rambam beforehand again, because it's a matir. I once heard from a Rabbi Yisrael Kamenetsky, the Rebbe in VRS, he had an interesting insight. He said, why should it be a matir? Why is a Birkas HaMitzvah matir? What does that mean? It's not like stealing food. In other words, if you eat food without making bracha, it's like you're stealing it. But if you do a mitzvah, what's the problem? See, he suggested you're asking permission to come close to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Mitzvahs make us close to God. Mitzvahs, there's a connection from man to God. What you're doing is you're saying, God, I want to come close to you. It's usher to step on God's toes, so to speak. Unless you kind of, you know, it's usher, you wouldn't want to walk into his house without knocking first. I guess that's a good mashal, maybe a better mashal. And therefore, it could be the Birkas HaMitzvah. Its nature is a matir because it enables you to get close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Rabbi Yisrael Kamenetsky suggested. He suggested here in HaKotel several years ago. He came back and gave a shir. Let me give Vat at my house, come to think of it. And he suggested this idea. He had this suggestion that the idea of a Birkas HaMitzvah is a matir, quoted the Rav, and many quoted the Rav. And he suggested one step further, you're asking Hashem to be close to him. That may very well be an explanation for, let's say, the Rambam materials, it's a matir or a kavana. The question is, why would Tosfos Rush disagree? Why does Tosfos Rush hold the bracha can go beforehand or afterwards, but lechadchila it should go beforehand? According to Tosfos, ideally it should go first, but you can do it afterwards. Where does that come from? What's the svara for those who disagree with the Rambam? What's the svara for the Ravid and the Or Zarua? What's their rhyme or reason? What's their shita based upon? What's the svara? What's the logic for that shita? Yeah. Yeah. Well, just because brachos are derabanan doesn't mean that they should go beforehand or afterwards. That's what I'm trying to figure out. Should they go beforehand or afterwards? Right. Most likely it won't. But hold on to that for mamish 60 seconds. We'll see in a second. To the very. You're right. Hold on to that. Yeah. What, a Birkas HaMitzvah is a Birkas HaShevach? It's a Birkas HaMitzvah. All Birkas HaMitzvahs are Birkas HaShevach, and even still, I'm not sure what you gain by saying that. Birkas HaMitzvah is not. I'm not talking about one particular bracha. I'm talking about brachas in general. Birkas HaMitzvahs, why must they go, why ideally should they go beforehand, and if not afterwards? I think what you mean is, it's a way of praising God, so I may as well have it before, may as well have it afterwards. I guess you could say like a balabat shushan. Okay, at the end of the day, you know, according to the Rambam, I guess damatu, you can't say that. If it's kavana, maybe you can, still, it's a preparation for the mitzvah, it's kavana. So what is the bracha that goes afterwards? It's a way of, what are you doing? You're praising mitzvos? Maybe. I'd like to suggest something a little bit different. There's a shita of Tosfos Rush, which I think is a fascinating shita. It's found in the Sefer Brachos and Daf Tes Vav. Let me give you the background information. Let me share with you the Gemara, and then hopefully we'll stay with the Tosfos Rush. The Gemara there has a machlokas Tanakama versus Rabbi Yossi as to whether or not one reading Kriyat Shema has to hear it with his own ears. If you read Kriyat Shema and you don't hear yourself saying it, are you Yotzer? Now it's a machlokas Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi. Tanakama thinks. Tanakam says you're not. You would say, Shama v'aznecha mashata motzi mitricha, you have to hear what you're saying. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, it's fine from the word v'hayu, from a dafiga. He has some other drasha. He holds, you can use some other positive word there, but probably worth the drasha. He thinks, Rabbi Yossi holds, you don't have to hear with your own ears, you know, it's okay. So the Gemara says, okay, what's the halacha by truma? You want to be mafresh truma. So the Gemara says, what about a person who cannot speak? It's a mute. A cheresh sheshomea ve'ena medaber. What's the halacha over there? So the Gemara there quotes a brisa. I think the brisa says that the halacha is lechad chila, he shouldn't do it, but b'diavad he should do it. What speech is there for truma? The bracha. So lechad chila better have someone else do it who can actually make the bracha, but this guy can't speak, so he shouldn't make the bracha lechad chila. B'diavad, if he did it, of course it counts. Not making a bracha does not undermine, is not ma'akev the mitzvah. The mitzvah is your yotze. You are mafresh the truma. Yeah, there's a halacha, chalos, hafresh is truma. The truma was nifrash, it's now truma, it's no longer tavel. However, and you fulfill the mitzvah. However, l'chachila, a person should do who makes a bracha. That's what the Brisa says. So the Gemara says, maybe that sounds a lot like Ushita. The Tanakama, better you should hear it. Versus now, even it can be like Rabbi Yossi. It can go like either Shita. It doesn't make a difference. Why? Even if you hold, even though Rabbi Yossi, I'm sorry, the other way around. Has the Gemara gone? One second. The Gemara goes the other way around. The Gemara, yeah. The Gemara says, I apologize. The Gemara says that this Truma thing can go like either Shita, even according to the Shitas that hold, even according to Rabbi Yossi, who says, you have to hear it. Did I mix it up earlier on? I apologize if I did. Let me just make sure. Let me go back and review with my brachos. The Mishnah brought the rest of the spells. According to the Tanakhama, better you should hear it, but you don't need to. According to Rabbi Yossi, it's necessary. If you don't hear it with your ears, if you don't hear yourself saying it, you're not Yotze. I may have mixed it up and said backwards, but did I apologize? Rabbi Yossi holds you need to hear it, you know, with your ears. Why? You have to hear it, and the Tanakhama says no from the word Shema b'chol rosh shata shomei. Learn something else, learn that a different drasha. And therefore, there's no mechayiv to hear with your ears. So it's machlokes, you have to hear it or not. According to Rabbi Yossi, it's critical. So at first glance, this brisa about truma, which says better you should hear it, sounds to go more like goat. The Tanakhama, l'chad chila, you should hear it, but yeah, but not like your Rabbi Yossi, would have a difficult time accepting this brisa, because he believes that hearing things are ma'akev, it mamish undermines the whole mitzvah. Gemara says no, it's different because kriya shma is daraisa. The kriya shma is daraisa. It's a different story. In other words, to quote the exact Gemara, at kalo kam Rav Yosi lo yase alagabe kriya shma daraisa about truma b'shem bracha hu bracha derabanan. No big deal. So the Gemara says really can go like Rav Yosi can accept this raisa as well. That's the Gemara. It's not about the moment of confusion. Tosfos Rush concludes from his Gemara. Tosfos Rush says, you see from his Gemara, that what's the reason why the bracha is na ma'akev? Because it's midrabana. However, if there would be a bracha midaraisa, then what? It would in fact undermine the mitzvah. It's the point that Jesse made earlier on. That the brachos, because they're derabanan, therefore they don't undermine the mitzvah. They don't now ma'akev the mitzvah. If they would have been deraisa, then lachar, they'd be ma'akev the entire mitzvah. You wouldn't be yotzei. That's the conclusion Tosfos Rush draws. If that Tosfos Rush is correct, if he drew the right conclusion from the Gemara, what conclusion could we draw from Tosfos Rush? What? No. How does Tosfos Rush look at the Birkas HaMitzvah? What? No, it's not an option. Correct. According to Tosfos Rush, excellent, the bracha is not an external element, it's not an external thing, rather it's part and parcel, it's a chelik of the mitzvah. So much so that if you don't do it, you might not even be yotzei. If you're not yotzei, it's got to be a critical element of the mitzvah. It's got to be a central aspect. And therefore, Tosfos Rush l'chora holds, this Rav Elchanan concludes from Tosfos Rush, but Elchanan says it must be Tosfos Rush holds that Birkas HaMitzvahs are not external bonuses, whether they're matirs or they, you know, help your kavanah, but rather they are a chelik of the mitzvah. And if that's correct, maybe you can explain the word zaruah and the raigin based upon this Tosfos Rush. When they're daraisa, they're internally, intrinsically part of the mitzvah, and they're ma'akim. When they're derabana, they're also part of the mitzvah. If it's part of the mitzvah, when should you make the bracha? If you make it afterwards, you're still completing the mitzvah afterwards. Why is it better to make the bracha beforehand? Because better when you do the ma'isa mitzvah to have it be complete. It's better to do when you do the ma'isa mitzvah to have it bishlei musa. But if let's just say you didn't make the bracha, so you did the mitzvah, and when you're mashed in the mitzvah, when is the mitzvah complete? When do you get the last 100% of the mitzvah? When you make bracha. So therefore, maybe according to the Or Zeruah and according to the Raavad, maybe they accept the svara of Tosfos Rush, and therefore would argue that what? That the bracha is part of the mitzvah, and therefore, l'chadchila, you should do it beforehand, b'di'eved, you can make the bracha afterwards. That may very well be what the writer of Tosfos and the words that we have in mind. Whether that's the correct shot in the writer or Tosfos and the writer in the words of Ruah or not, Tosfos Rush is a fascinating shita. Tosfos Rush believes that the bracha is part of the mitzvah. For starters, what would the Rambam say? The Rambam believes it's not part of the mitzvah. The Rambam believes it's a prerequisite. It's a matir. It's a kavana thing. Well, how would the Rambam read this Gemara? Didn't the Gemara just say that Rav Yossi can accept this whole truma of raisa because it's the bracha and brachos and midrabana? L'chora, what the Rambam would say, he would interpret the Gemara differently. There are two ways to learn this Gemara. One way is to suggest the brachos are na ma'akev because they're derabana. The other way to suggest is the brachos are na ma'akev and I'll prove it to you. What's the proof? That they're derabana. Meaning when the Gemara says kriyat shema shayne because it's daraisa and the truma is about a bracha, which is derabanan, is that the reason why it's na ma'akev or is it a proof that it's na ma'akev? According to Tosfos Rush, it's the reason why, and therefore, if it would be daraisa, in fact, it would be ma'akev. According to the Rambam, l'chora, it's just a raya, it's a proof that it's not ma'akev. But even if it would be daraisa, it still wouldn't be ma'akev. According to the Rambam, l'chora, brachas are never ma'akev because they're external to the ma'aseh mitzvah. Ma'aseh ken tosfos rush, that they're part of the ma'aseh mitzvah. If this is correct in tosfos rush, l'chora, there's a bunch of fascinating conclusions one should draw. What would be the halacha if there's a bracha, a birkas ha-mitzvah that's daraisa? Fascinating shayla. So Rabbi Chanan says, L'chora, the birkas ha-mitzvah that every person makes in the morning, L'chora, according to Tosfos Rush, is that daraisa? Possibly the Ramban thinks it's daraisa for sure. The Rambam's not so clear, it's a machlokas achronim, but many believe it's daraisa. If it would be daraisa, what incredible halacha would be true? What would you pull out of Tosfos Rush? If you don't make a birkas ha-Torah, your Talmud Torah is not a mitzvah. Right? According to Tosfos Rush, if the bracha would be daraisa, it's ma'akev the mitzvah. What's the story by birkas ha-Torah? Maybe it's a mitzvah daraisa, and therefore what? Maybe it's ma'akev the learning. That'd be an unbelievable conclusion. Most people think this conclusion is a little bit far-fetched. Either because they disagree with Tosfos Rush, or they think that Tosfos Rush would hold the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is the mitzvah of Birkas HaTorah is only Midrabanan, or they would hold, even if it's Midaraisa, the Birkas HaMitzvah may be a Birkas Shevach V'Hodah and not a Birkas HaMitzvah. But if you draw the following three conclusions, if you accepted all three assumptions that Rav Chanan seems to make, you have an incredible conclusion. A, you hold that, like Tosfos Rush, that bracha is daraisa v'ma'akev. B, you hold birkas ha-Torah is midaraisa. And C, you hold it's a birkas ha-mitzvah. If you wouldn't make the bracha, you wouldn't be yosef the Talmud Torah. With this as a background, give me 2 more seconds, I'll take your question momentarily, you can understand a fascinating machlokas ha-poskim. The Nosei Kelim and Shulchan Aruch discuss reading the Torah, Kriyas HaTorah, on Parsha Zachar, of Shabbat Zachar. There, the Taz has an incredible conclusion. Just to give you the context, first is the Shita of the Maharshal. The Maharshal says the Katan should never get Maftir. And the Bach says he could get Maftir, it's no problem. The Taz then offers his own interpretation and says as follows. A katan who's allowed to read the Torah should not make kol from after, shouldn't do the parsha zachar, whatever the story is, because if he can't be motzi people in the bracha, his kriya is not a kriya, and therefore everything falls apart. No one deals in parsha zachar. That's the Taz shita. What important assumption must the Taz be making? Well, that the birkas haTorah, a few. A, the birkas haTorah of the kriyas haTorah on parsha zachar is daraisa, and more than that, it's a chelik of the mitzvah. That's what the Magana, a prima gadim pulls out of the Taz, that's what the prima gadim says, explains the Taz. If that's correct, we've understood and proved one of the two major assumptions the Brisker Rav had in the story. That the bracha of Birkas HaTorah beforehand is a chelak of the mitzvah, and without it, you're not yotzei the Kriyas HaTorah. If the Brisker Rav accepted this chumrah of the Taz, even Bataras chumrah, we understood half of the story. Let me take a round of questions, and I'll share with you the second half of the story, whether or not Kriyas HaTorah is a Chovas HaYachid or a Chovas HaTzibur. 1, 2, 1.
Seems to be lining up. On the one hand, you can have the other, the Katan,
Well, if it's a Chelik, why should it only be made beforehand? If you fulfilled the mitzvah, Shalom B'Shleilusa, why should you not be able to do it afterwards?
Is it possible that
why would that order make sense? The answer is that it's possible. It's very possible mitzvahs have orders, but you have to be able to explain them.
Well, how do you find the two? Say, you have an hand and you see a head.
Then you would say, lechachila, but b'di'evit, worst comes to worst, you didn't do a good hachana. But if the mitzvah, well, let me say it this way. If the mitzvah was done shalopish le'musa, why should you not make the bracha afterwards if you can be mashlim the mitzvah? Lechachila, I understand. But b'di'evit, you finished the mitzvah, you did 90% of it, you didn't make the bracha, so just make it now. Why should the bracha, oh, I get a lechachila, fine, but b'di'evit that you came and do it afterwards, I couldn't find it.
Is there not a difference whether it's true components,
I don't know, I guess we can do a bit of research, but even if it would be, I don't think we'd carry over here. To me, it's just, again, I'm basing it on Svara. I could imagine someone disagreeing with this Svara, but I think it's pretty good anyway. I think it's pretty fair Svara. That the mitzvah, the way to complete the mitzvah is to do the bracha. Therefore, it has to be done, but not done beforehand. Maybe the chachila beforehand. But I don't see why the bracha would be ma'at. Why? Yeah. Let's take a mitzvah like a mitzvah daraisa. If let's say you did the mitzvah daraisa, why should you not make the bracha afterwards if it's part of the mitzvah? Just do it afterwards.
That's even that it's not hafana. If it's hafana and it's telef, then it needs to be done beforehand. It needs to be done.
Meaning, I don't understand how a hachana means like a way of preparing to do the mitzvah. You want to say part. I guess I hear what you're saying. You're suggesting maybe the chelik of the mitzvah is a hachana. That's what I'm saying. I guess it's the best svara I got out there. Theoretically, I guess you can you know, poke a hole in it. I guess maybe that's what you're trying to do over here. You want to suggest that maybe the chelik of the mitzvah is a hachana. The Torah says, do the mitzvah. Part of that is the bracha. And the only way to do it is by the goal of the mitzvah. The goal of the bracha, rather, is to prepare for the mitzvah, therefore it can only be done beforehand. Okay, I hear. If that's correct, then my svara would probably, then maybe that would be a svara for the Rambam as well. Maybe. At the end of the day, most of this building, I built to get the Tosfos Rosh Hashita, and that leads us to the Taz, and that explains part of the Brisker Rav. You want to open that svara for the Rambam? I don't like it, but I hear it. Yeah?
Doesn't the Taz also prove the second part of the Brisker Rav thing, that the
Yeah, correct. Correct. Well, it could be, but it could be also just that the Kriyas, in other words, if the bracha is part of the Kriyas HaTorah, even if it's a Chovas HaTzibur, it turns it into a civic serious thing, the bracha, a bad bracha, prevents that Kriya from becoming a real Kriya, and it could be a false part that way. In any event, there's an interesting Gemara. The Gemara Maseches Megillah and Daf Chaf Aleph or so writes that these days we make a bracha before and after every aliyah. Once upon a time, we only made a bracha before the first and after the second, but these days we make a bracha before and after every aliyah. Why? Mishum nichnasim v'yotzim. People who come in and walk out. Rashi explains people are going to walk in late, walk out early, not everyone comes to shul on time, not everyone stays till the end. And therefore, people won't know that there's a Birkas HaTorah beforehand and afterwards. People will walk in late, and they'll think, just like the second and the third and the fourth guy got aliyahs and didn't make a bracha, presumably the first guy got an aliyah and didn't make a bracha as well. That's how Rashi interprets the Gemara. It's also found in many Mishnah in this suggestion. There are some small soft spots with this Gemara, questions you could ask. What's the problem with this explanation of Rashi? Well, we want them to know, but I guess your point is, who cares? So they won't know. If every balabas and shul doesn't know, that's not the end of the world, as long as the gabayim know, as long as things are functioning properly. And also, there's another problem, which is... Right, the same guy has to come late every single Shabbos for this to be a problem. As long as 1 out of 10 times he comes on time and he hears the bracha, he'll begin to realize, oh, they make brachos. So it's a little bit of a difficult cheat that Rashi offers. There's an alternative suggestion that is made by other Mefarshim, the Parat Yosef, found in the back of Maseches Megillah. The Parat Yosef writes, the reason why we need a bracha by each aliyah is based on the Taz, that the bracha is ma'akev, and there's a chovas hayachim. You have to hear every single bracha, because the Kriyas HaTorah is a chiyuv on you, and B, the bracha is a part of the Kriyas HaTorah. If that's correct, nichnasim v'yotzim makes a lot of sense. You missed the first bracha. You only heard two-thirds of the Kriyas Torah. If you didn't get the bracha, you're not yotze the mitzvah. Because why? Because the bracha is part of the mitzvah. You walked in late, you missed it. You walked in early, you missed it. If you assume that the chop is on the yachin and the bracha is part of the mitzvah, then nichnas v'yotze makes a lot of sense. And that's in fact what the Horat Yosef writes. Seems to be against Rashi. Are there any other nafkaminis to this shaila? Whether Kriyas HaTorah is a chovas hayachid, a chovas hatzibun? Yeah, l'chora, yes, there's a fascinating sheikh of the Mechaber. The Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch writes, one can learn quietly during Kriyas HaTorah. If let's say the Baal Koreh is laning, then you want to read along Torah, that's obviously great, but if you want to learn something else, you fell behind, you want to catch up with the Rashis, you want to open up a different sefer, you can learn quietly on your own. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says, it's in Kuf Mem Vav. The Bir Halacha there quotes a Shibuli Halaget, who says the Shulchan Aruch is only right if you already heard Kriyas HaTorah. But if you didn't yet hear Kriyas HaTorah, you can learn other things because you have to fulfill your obligation. L'chara, this machlok is the Shulchan Aruch and the Shibuli Halakhah, it's Gufar Shail. If it's a Chobas at Tzibur, as long as the Tzibur is doing the mitzvah, you don't have to pay attention. You can learn on your own. You can't do a disrespectful thing, but you can learn, which is a respectful, quiet act. But if the mitzvah is on the Yachid, you have to pay attention in order to be Yotzei. And therefore, the only time for the Shibuli Halakhah, the only time a person can learn is if you already heard the Kriyas HaTorah, Tashkama Minyan, you davened early, you heard it before, etc., etc. That's one, another nafkamina. Beyond that, Rav Shtorbach has a nafkamina. Two more nafkaminas I saw. Both, I saw them both on the internet. I looked through some of the sfarim and people discuss this chakir, if it's a chobos hayachid, chobos hatzibur. But there aren't many nafkaminas I found. I used the internet. Baruch Hashem for the internet. What is the shita of Rav Shtorbach? Rav Shtorbach writes that it's based upon a sugya in Megillah. People know that if, let's say, you live in a small town, the times of the Mishnayos, they didn't read the Megillah on the 14th, they read it on the Yom HaKadisha. If you live in a walled city, you read the 15th. If you live in a regular place, the 14th. If you live in a small town, the Kfarim, then you read the Megillah on the Yom HaKadisha, the Monday and Thursday previous. Why Monday and Thursday previous? So different Mepharshim offer different explanations. Rashi writes, because that's the days that the Beis Din would meet. The Ran says, it's because that's the days they read the Torah, so they were going to Shul anyway. Rav Shtorbach wanted to argue, according to the Ran, L'chora, said that a little differently. According to Rashi, why did they come in to read the Torah in Shul? And he answered, according to Rashi, the Chov is on the Tzibur, the Chov is on the Yachid. According to Rashi, the Chov is on the Yachid. If that's the case, he had to read it anyway. That wasn't the reason they came into Shul. It must be they came into town because of the Beis Din. Mashiach came Rovi, Shonim. For example, the Ran, they believe the Chov is on the Tzibur. They came in to fulfill that mitzvah. If his diuk in Rashi is correct, I don't believe it is. It's going to be sota what Rashi said by Nichnas and Biyotu, where he disagrees with the Parat Yosef, L'chora, according to Rashi, the mitzvah is on the Tzibur, not on the Yachid. I don't know why Rashi wrote based it. That's the Mitzias. That's the reason they came in. Maybe that's the reason why the Kriyas HaTorah is on Monday and Thursday, for that matter. I didn't think Rav Shtorbach's diuk was so great. Additionally, it caused a stira in Rashi. It's a nafkamina, but it's not something I was overly convinced by. There's one more quick nafkamina that Post can suggest. I saw on the internet as well. I wasn't overly blown away by it. I thought half was correct, but half I thought was a stretch. The Gemara they wants to know in Masechta Megillah, can you read the Megillah b'yichidus or must you read it b'tzibur? So Rav, the sheet that we follow, writes you can read b'yachid, but Rav Ashi disagrees and says you have to write it, you have to read the Megillah b'tzibur. What does it mean b'tzibur? It says the Baal Hamar, it means l'chachila it should be b'tzibur. The ideal, best way to do it is b'tzibur. According to Rav, it doesn't make a difference, but Rav Ashi l'chachila b'tzibur. The Ramban and the Muhammad disagrees and writes, no, it means b'tzibur. According to Rav Ashi, again, we don't accept him l'halacha. According to the Ramban, Rav Ashi mandated Kriyas and Megillah b'tzibur, and that's the only way to do it. It wasn't because l'chachila b'tzibur. The Balamar had a riot. The Baal HaMar proves his shita. What's the raya? That Kriyas HaMegillah is not on the list of a thing of things that that is only capable to be done with a minyan. When you read the list of things the Mishnah has, of all the things that need a minyan, Kriyas HaMegillah is not there. Why not? Because you don't really need a minyan b'diyat, it's just l'chad chila. The Ramban says that's not a raya. The reason why Kriyas HaMegillah is not on that mission, not on that list, is because the list is only dealing with things that are chovas hatzibur, while Kriyas HaMegillah is a chovas hayachid that the tzibur does. And therefore, says the Ramban, that list is only a bunch of things that are chovas hatzibur. Interestingly enough, what is found on that list? Kriyas HaTorah. So the Bechorah, which you can prove from the Ramban, is that the Ramban believes that Kriyas HaTorah is a Chovas HaSibur. I don't think the Baal HaMar had to hold that Kriyas HaTorah is a Chovas HaYachid. I don't think it has to be, but the internet guy who wrote up the Shir on the internet says, yeah, presumably the Baal HaMar disagrees and holds it's on the Yachid. I don't know why you have to say that, but this guy thought that was true. In any event, if this is correct, and well, before that, the Chaim Soloveitchik was going to be very, very careful. He was very machmer that the Chovas that there was a Chovas HaYachid of Kriyas HaTorah. The Chaim was very careful to make sure that he heard the Kriyas HaTorah, he thought it was a Chovas HaYachid, he would never leave. He would stick around, he would take it upon himself like a Chovas HaYachid. And for Soloveitchik, if people have heard the stories of Mwayu, if he'd fly in from Boston on a Thursday morning or a Monday morning, whatever it was, he'd fly, and that case is, he'd gather at Seaboard and make sure there's a Kriyas HaTorah with him again because he felt that there was a Chovas Ha. He felt that there was a Chovas Ha Yachid. Rav Chaim was Machmer and the Rav was Machmer. It certainly fits into place that the Brisker family, the Soloveitchik family, was Machmer and the Brisker Rav, I guess, falls under that realm as well. The Brisker Rav probably held A. That the Kriyas HaTorah, at least the Chumrah, he was Machmer, that it was a Chovas HaYachid, and B, the Bracha is a Chelik of the Mitzvah, and therefore he wanted to make sure he was there. I should point out that even though Kriyas HaTorah by Mincha is certainly a Mitzvah mid the Rabbanan and not Ma'akev, nonetheless it's a Chelik of the Mitzvah, and therefore I guess he was Machmer.